Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday to you. You're supposed to say Happy Friday something. To me. That's what you said last time.
Okay, we're going to go for 20 here. Take two, Kevin. Start the edit. Right, future Kevin. About. Kevin, get ready. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Friday Follow-Up. I'm Alec, the host, and I'm here with...
Kevin Neitzel.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. We both got our deep breaths in, got our little laughing attack over, and here we are, ready to talk about Dale Chidester's interview that we had this week. We are out on the porch next to the fire with a couple whiny little dogs, and we'll see if that calms down a little bit. Hopefully, Kevin can edit out dog whining.
So, let's talk about the last week's challenge.
Integrity. I hope everybody practiced integrity every day. And it's cool to double think integrity like every second you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
It came up when I was talking to somebody about the podcast, actually. Somebody said, that sounds really cool. It must be really a really big thing. And I had to step back because, yeah, it is a really big thing to me. But part of integrity is like making sure... they understand both ways. So mm-hmm. I could have went on letting them think it was as big as they thought it was. Or I could just tell cool the statistics.
Just try and give your own definition of a word, you know, on these challenges. It's harder than you think when you start thinking about it. You know, my first thought that comes to mind in integrity is, you know, a man with integrity. But right away, I was thinking of the definition, and I started thinking of structural integrity. You know, has structural integrity, you know, it's not going to break or collapse under load. And that's just kind of cool to tie that into man's integrity.
Yeah, I really like that. That's a way I hadn't thought of it before. So this week, I interviewed Dale Chidester. I'm on the township board with him. That's how I've got to know him. He's a neighbor, too. We spent quite a bit of time chit-chatting, been on road checks together, meetings together. I have a lot of respect for Dale. He is, he's been married for, I think, 42 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of years.
Yeah. Has three kids.
And I like that when the kids came in, he just laughed. Every time he came over, a couple different times for this. And he'd have to stop and say hi to the kids. Like, mm-hmm. I'd be like, let's go. And no, Dale would stop and say hi to all three of the kids that were out here. And
He loves family, that's for sure.
Yeah. And he said he had three kids to, I like how he put that. He had three kids so they could solve their own arguments.
Yeah, I like that idea. We just had our third. And I'm hoping that works out that way for us.
Does she solve arguments yet?
No.
just, not from the car
seat. She just cries when she's hungry so far.
Yeah. Dale is the second oldest guy at Hormel right now. And Kevin, you know who he is because you work there too. And Kevin's an outside contractor, doesn't work in the plant. But you know Dale because...
I walk by him all the time and say hi to him. And sometimes he opens the door for me when the key card doesn't work.
Yeah. And Dale's truck is the forklift we always had to use. Sorry, Dale.
Yeah.
For how many times it wasn't charged up when you went to get on it on a Monday. But yeah, I'll tell you, Dale and I both are involved in politics. He's involved way more than I am. He's got way more experience than I am at it.
Mm-hmm.
But we disagree on almost every aspect of politics out there, on most of the issues. But Dale and I can sit there for 3 hours, have a discussion.
And he's agreeable.
Yeah. We have respect for each other. That's one thing I think Dale's actually taught me. Even though we disagree, we have a lot of respect for each other in the arguments.
There's a difference between a discussion and an argument.
Yes, exactly. We can discuss things for hours and afterwards get up, shake hands, and see each other again.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kevin, what was the main thing you got out of the interview?
Well, the biggest thing that I kept seeing come up is his whole attitude around family. You know, family first. Is the first note I wrote down. You know, everything from when he was talking about just spending time with the family, when they would go and they'd spend an entire day with the family, and And then he'd say, you know, it was a wonderful life. It was amazing to be able to do that. And that's just something you don't hear from people nowadays. You know, I spent an entire day with the family around Christmas. You know, I'm so happy to be done with that. You know,
it's crazy that, I mean, we find the same thing. You know, we'll spend the entire day visiting family, but not like they did. And then at the end, we can't wait for it to be over. But how many times do you find yourself at the end actually saying, and it was a wonderful life?
Yeah.
The way he said it, how much you could tell, genuine, and how much he cared when he said that.
Yeah, how amazing it was to be able to spend that time with the family.
Exactly. And then he talked about his dad and that same aspect. They'd visit family all day, like you were saying, and then his dad would have steak fries,
mm-hmm.
or chicken fries, or put something on the spit, and they'd spend a whole Saturday hanging out, and mm-hmm. it was friends and family.
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought it was really cool where he said, I think it was his mom and her sisters made the pact to not move away so that the family would be together. And, you know, he didn't know that until just before his mom died. You know, and he talked about that maybe would have changed his thoughts on moving away, but you know, that I think that's really cool. That's something I've heard my grandpa say, is how proud he is that our family has stayed as close together as we have.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing he talks about is how much, you know, your family can help you and how much you can help your family. He said, you know, there's always somebody out there that needs help, and somebody always out there that you can help, even if they're not family. He said if nobody else is there for you, family will be.
Yeah, I really liked that. I mean, how did he put that? He put, I'm sure we both wrote it down the same, but he said, you can always help, and you can always be helped. And if you need something, someone can help and will help you.
But maybe there's a day you don't need something.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always a day somebody else needs something.
Yeah.
There's always a day somebody else needs help. And it's amazing how many of our podcasts that relates to. How many of the guys that relates to. But it's good to know what he cares about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one last thing I had was, you know, just again with family, how, you know, how that translated into even his work. You know, he kind of risked some stuff with his brother that wasn't hired back after the strike.
Yeah.
And he was wearing the sticker
boycott
to work to boycott the company. And I said, well, why would you want to boycott a company that you work for? You know, he said, well, you haven't hired my brother back yet. You know, he still needs his job. And I thought that was really cool that, you know, he was really risking something there, you know, for family again. Family first.
Yeah, that was awesome. That kind of leads right into what I got out of Dale. Yeah, Dale was a respectful rebel. I wrote it down in my notes several different places of where I thought that was portrayed. Dale didn't agree with how they were doing things, but he still followed the rules. Mm-hmm. And you have to be pretty smart to do it as well as Dale did it.
Yeah.
You have to really know what's going on.
Yeah, he constantly knew, through what, you know,
exactly.
What he was doing. He was always doing something, and he kept commenting that he was still following the rules.
Yes, exactly. And that's cool, because he knew what was going on the whole time. There were a lot of people had no idea what they were doing. They'd just go sit at home until the next time they got called back to work was.
Yeah. And when, you know, when he started to realize that he needed to kind of study up on the politics of everything, he did.
Yep.
You know, he dove into it and figured stuff out
so
that he could still follow the rules and still get his point across.
Yeah. I like how he talked about the papers during a meeting or during one of the strikes at the pickets, but it was where he said, he's like, both papers were way off. One said 200, one said 2,000 people.
Yeah.
And Dale's like, it was
all
right
you had
in the
to
middle.
Do is show up.
Yeah. Dale's like, I was there. They were both wrong. But
yeah.
How many people didn't know that? And then he goes into that's the politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one paper was Republican and one paper was Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody just writing the story the way it was. And God, I'm going to circle around on these things a few times. I'm sure we are with Dale, but that's what brings me to this, is the cool part. The best part about this story, besides the fact that he had cool things that he appreciated, was that nobody's going to have this story of Hormel or the strike or this history.
Right.
This is something when my kids get older, I'm going to say, sit down with Dale's essay or story and write me an essay.
Yeah.
This is their history assignment for a week. just all the knowledge he had, besides all the values that he shared.
Yeah. Yeah, my in-laws started working for Hormel around that time. I thought it was really cool to hear another side of, you know, the story a lot further back, too. You know, he kind of gave the history all the way back into the 30s. And,
yeah.
You know, that was really cool hearing, you know, the full rounded story of, you know, what he knew and, you know, his part that he played in it.
Yeah. He knew that it wasn't just local politics. It was the structure. I even wrote it down. The social structure of America was being developed at every point in this process.
Yeah.
And he talked about how the shuttle just completely changed that. And I can see how that would happen. All of a sudden, it's out of the newspapers, and then it becomes just local. And
yeah.
But it sets up the scene for the rest of... It's set it up for how it is nowadays.
Yeah.
Still to this day. But anyway, back to the rebel part. Dale said, and Kevin and I both had this written down in separate notes, so that's pretty cool. But anybody that doesn't conform to what somebody else's ideas of what should be right and wrong is a rebel. And I think that's a great definition of a rebel.
Yeah.
It's not always what's right or wrong. It's what people's ideas of right and wrong are.
It's not just rebelling against all rules or, you know, any guidelines. It's, you know, thinking for yourself, you know, even though that's not the popular opinion or somebody else's opinion.
Yeah. One thing I like is he was an old wobbly. And did you remember what an old wobbly was at the beginning of the story?
No, I remember him saying that.
It was the guys that believed in handshakes. They didn't believe in written written forms or written contracts.
You keep your end of the deal and I'll keep mine.
Yeah, and I sometimes wonder if that was the end of the old wobbly.
Yeah.
You know what? He joined the union, or they joined the union at number 9. That's why they're P9ers. And then there's no old wobbly anymore. Now we're writing contracts. No more handshakes. And I wonder what that took out of it. That's a question I should ask Dale, what he thought that took out of it. Dale talked about bologna sandwich runs, which brings me back to not the family part, but the fellowship part of it with men that he cared about.
There's always somebody out there that needs help.
Exactly. And these guys, that's how they communicated. That's how they knew what was going on. And they bring bologna sandwiches to people at other plants that were on strike. Mm-hmm. You're going to eat lunch. We're going to take care of you. So whether or not you believed in the strike or not, that's cool. Those guys stood together and banded together and found fellowship together. I've got so many notes on Dale. One thing I noticed about Dale, and I'll bring up an example of this, but he always tried to look at the bigger picture. He always stepped back. And I think that's how he figured out that he realized politics was involved so much in every part of your life, because he's always stepping back and figuring out what's the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about the castles and the plow, and I thought about that a lot this week.
I wrote that down, too.
I bet you did. But why don't you talk about it?
I wrote down just the invention of the plow, not the sword, changed the castle. You know, that they already had the sword, but what...
Yeah, there's
being
a goat.
Interrupted by a goat here.
Goat creeping in the porch. Sorry about that.
You know, they already had the sword. That didn't change as much as the invention of the steel plow.
Yeah.
You know, the steel plow changed not just how things were, but the actual structure of the castle. They were able to build it bigger and have more people. Well, there's a lot of goats.
Guys, in case you didn't know, goats are friendly, and they like dog food. It's weird, but anyway... Now we have goats on the porch, so that's weird.
Anyways, that's what I had on that.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. And who else knows that? I mean, how many people think of that?
Yeah.
That the plow is what changed it, not the sword.
Yep.
I mean, there's more about politics. And that's what kind of brings us to the main Friday follow-up thing for today that I just want to bring up. Is Friday follow-up isn't about politics. We're not going to talk about which politics are right or wrong. They're all politicians. But I'll tell you what, I believe in politics. Dale believes in politics. We disagree. We still find a way to talk about it. But Friday follow-up, going back to being humble, is about sitting down and listening long enough to get the lessons out of the story.
Yeah. Well, I like what he said about the politics thing. I'll throw this in. You don't have to be consumed by politics, but just understand that it controls every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
I really like how he said that.
Exactly. And so what I kind of realized with Dale's story is it could be just a story of politics and you know, what happened at Hormel. But that's one thing that I've appreciated out of these, and that I think that's the end goal of Forever Fathers. It's not us providing father figures and telling people how to live their life. It's us teaching people how to appreciate the father figures that are in their lives and teaching people how to find a father figure and get the most lessons out of the story that you can get. So that's what we want everybody to do. We don't want everybody to live exactly how we tell them to. We want everybody to be able to learn their own lessons.
Right. Yeah, it's a collaboration of all the father figures. You know, eventually you become your own father. Well, at least I did.
Yes, you become, exactly.
You know, a father, and I have to decide, you know, what am I going to pass on to my kids? What kind of father am I going to be? You know, am I going to be a cookie-cutter version of my father? Or, you know, there's a lot of other father figures out there that contributed into my life, and I mean, definitely, of course, my father was a very good father figure, but, you know, it's not about whether or not I had a dad growing up. It's you know, the collaboration of all the men in my life as I grew up.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually part of what we want to be careful of is we appreciate our dads, and I think it all comes in the same way. So the fact that I have appreciation for my father, there's things I didn't like about what he did, but it made me who I am. I am who I am. Maybe I needed a spanking.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to appreciate what they did for you because you're here. They kept you alive. I mean, that's something.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't let you drown in the river. So, yeah, it's all about finding your father figures and then having an appreciation for them, not a resentment. And I feel like that's something we could never stop talking about because I feel like there's a lot of that out there. I mean, that's the whole thing. There's a lot of resentment towards father figures, and we're trying to bring an appreciation back for it.
Exactly.
So, all right, and you can pick your nose, and you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your friend's nose or your family. Because as soon as he said family, I was completely blown away. I've never heard that before. That was what Dale ended on. That, and you can always count on family. And I think that was really important. I like that that's the way he chose to end it. And that's why he talked about it
perfectly.
Yeah. So, this week's challenge is going to be a little harder because we're trying to decide what it is.
Yeah. So this week's challenge, I think, is, you know, more specific than just helping somebody, but finding, you know, a specific situation. You know, Dale said there's always somebody out there that needs help. And so this week, go out and find that person and post about it on our Facebook page. Let us know.
Yeah, this isn't just like
brag about yourself.
Yeah, this isn't
what you did.
It's not just I'm gonna help people better this week.
Yeah,
we're gonna kind of not do challenges like that. At this point, we're gonna do a specific
action that you did. Yeah.
So this week, today, the card machine was broken at Caribou, and I'm not 100% sure if Kevin knew this ahead of time or not, but his wife was in front of me in line, and then she was nice enough. I didn't take advantage of this, but somebody else must have. She was nice enough. She left $6 in cash there for the next person that didn't have cash and only had a card. So essentially, she paid it forward. So if paying it forward is the only way you can find to help somebody, then do it and tell us about it. And then leave it on Facebook.
Seven people a ride to the next truck stop.
Or if you have if you can fit seven people in a Pinto, do that.
Yeah.
But if you go on Facebook and you see that, John over here posted on Forever Fathers that he paid it forward $6 at Caribou, I better see the next post of somebody paying $10 forward at McDonald's. And if you fit 7 people in your Pinto, Kevin, I'm going to go find 8 people that need a ride. Yes. So we want this to kind of be a challenge, and we need specific stories to talk about next week because we're getting sick of trying to talk about stuff ourselves.
Yeah, let's talk about somebody else. So we'll pick our favorite post this week and talk about it next week.
So post it on Facebook, and to our wives, listen to this and post it on Facebook, please, so we have somebody to talk about next week. All right, I think that's the end of Friday Follow-Up today. Thanks, Kevin, for helping host it. And thanks a lot, Dale, for the interview. That meant a lot to us. I hope all of Dale's kids are listening to this and get to hear that awesome, awesome story.
Have a good week.